On a black background, four small light-colored cubes appear in a horizontal row. They elongate and swivel upright to form the first letter I in vertical entertainment. On a black background, the silhouette of a white leaf drifts, then drops to form the letter I in park pictures. On a ruled notebook page, a drawing of a tiger head wearing sunglasses. The tiger lowers his sunglasses, then winks. Getting rad. Fade to black.
It's okay. You can call me. We love you so much.
In a dim room, a gaunt-faced woman lies motionless in bed.
Oh, she's gone. She's gone.
Two young women lie beside her.
We love you.
A man with dark hair kneels over the deceased woman.
We love you so much.
The man reaches across her and joins hands with the women. A younger, chunkier man, who lies curled up at the foot of the bed, extends one arm and places his hand atop theirs. The dark-haired man rests his face on the deceased woman's right arm. The two young women who share the pillow beside the deceased woman press their eyes closed. The young man at the foot of the bed blinks repeatedly. They all remain still.
Hello, you've reached the Mulcahy residence. We aren't able to get to the phone right now, but leave a message and we'll call you back.
Hi, Joanne. It's Kathy Colombo from Bemidji State. I heard from Kay and Rick you were sick. I am so sorry. I didn't know that, honey. I'd love to hear how you're doing whenever you're up for it, okay? And if, hold on one sec, Joanne. Yes, I'd like two bean and cheese burritos, please, and a small Pepsi.
We don't serve Pepsi, ma'am. We only have Coke.
No, I also...
No, ma'am.
Oh, shit. Sorry, I thought it was...
Ma'am, only...
Taco Bell? Am I an eucalyptus?
No,
oh, God, I'm all turned around.
Ma'am, we only have Coke.
Okay, no. Yeah, I hear you. Okay, Coke's fine, then.
Okay,
thank you.
That's all?
Yes, thank you.
311 at the first window.
I'm so sorry about that, Joanne. Where was I? Oh, right, how sick you are.
White letters appear. Other people. Several pairs of eyeglasses adorned with Happy New Year sit on a kitchen counter.
Rocking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop.
Five Christmas stockings hang from a fireplace mantel. Party guests mingle in a garage. The young man with short reddish blonde hair wears a checkered shirt. Alone, he paces. He gazes around, then bites his right thumbnail. He holds a fireplace lighter in his left hand. He steps back into the house and opens the kitchen refrigerator. A white-haired couple sits nearby.
There's our New York City boy.
That's right. Hi, Grandma.
They got you working this party?
It's good to work. Good for you.
You know, I'm glad that you're moving home for a bit. Your mom's gonna need a lot of help. She does not deserve this.
You know, Rebecca and Alex helped set up, too.
We did it all. You were... writing.
Are you drinking? You're like 15 years old.
I'm 17.
Alex, you didn't help at all. You were gone picking up friends for like 5 hours.
Please tell me not Paige.
I haven't talked to Paige since like middle school.
Oh, hey there. Is this where I can get some chips?
A balding man wears fake teeth.
Oh, hi. My name's Fletcher. Just live here in the neighborhood.
Hi, Fletcher.
Hoping to get some chips.
The man munches potato chips. He removes the teeth, then holds them out toward the young man.
Okay, great. 99 cents at the gas station.
99 cents.
No, so?
David, what do you hear about your show?
It didn't get picked up, so they don't pick it up. You know, it's over.
Yeah, but you never know. Maybe they'll change their minds.
Not really how it works.
You know, we turned on SNL the other week looking for you on there.
A dark-haired woman.
Why? I don't work there.
Well, it's only a matter of time before we see you on there.
Well, I'm a writer, so I never... actually be like on the show.
Sure, you're gonna get a lot of material tonight, won't it, Grandpa?
I'll give you some material. What do you need?
Hey, David!
You just need these. This is a sketch.
David.
The teeth.
Give these to Lauren Michaels.
Okay, I gotta show you this.
A blonde woman.
Remember that wand that I bought on the internet?
The one that can heal people.
Yes. And can you believe it? Only 400? I mean, that's crazy.
Everyone at your church bought one?
Yep. Right? Well, my pastor sells them on his website. And anyway, I looked it up, and it doesn't cure cancer.
David nods.
Wow.
And so it just works on if you, like, throw your back out or something. But boy, is it amazing.
Thanks for researching that. That's good to know.
How you doing, Sacramento?
Here comes
The dark-haired woman stands at a microphone.
We were going to dedicate this first song to Joanne, but she's still upstairs getting ready, apparently. So get your butt down here, Joanne! Well, we got our New York City boy in the house tonight.
David smiles and waves.
You're not too good for us now, are you?
No.
Okay. We're going to start you off with a little appetizer.
The woman plays a guitar. A man wearing dark rimmed glasses plays a conga drum beside her.
I got a brand new used car the other day. Had a smile on my face as I drove it away. 'Cause I've been driving that same four door since I was 16.
David walks upstairs, then pauses in a bathroom's open doorway. Joanne, a slender woman with shoulder-length brown hair, applies eye makeup in front of the mirror. Smiling, David steps toward her.
I'm almost ready. I'm so sorry.
No rush.
It's taking me forever. Sit down for 1 minute.
David sits on the edge of the tub.
How's it going down there?
Patty brought her wand.
She did. Of course she did.
Because it doesn't work on cancer, though.
Darn.
Joanne wears a short, sparkly dress and white knee-high boots.
Don't bite.
Isn't this dress pretty?
She turns to him.
It is. I feel like...
She wears a gold cross around her neck.
Too subtle? Maybe.
Yeah, you think so?
Something more, maybe?
Do you know that I got this dress for the 70s party that your dad dragged me to? Did I ever tell you about that party?
No.
It was for the people at his school, so you get the idea. It's like, you know, you think he's bad, these people mm-hmm. are the worst. So your dad makes this big deal, like we have to get our 70s costume. Like, he was very excited about this party. So I get this dress, which is beautiful. Mm-hmm. We go to the party, we walk in, and literally no one is dressed up in 70s costumes except for me and your father. Can you imagine?
Oh, my God.
It was so embarrassing.
Why was
no
I not
one,
there?
David. God is my witness. I don't know. These people, they had like one little banner that said groovy, and then they were playing, they didn't even play 70s music. They were playing like Phil Collins music.
Oh. So sorry, that sucks.
I know, but it's so funny in retrospect. So has everyone already left yet?
Actually, you missed the whole year.
It's probably not a terrible idea.
Joanne grabs a baby carrot and walks past him.
Should we go down?
Are you going?
He follows. She turns toward him. He shifts his eyes toward the stairs.
You don't have to move back. You know that, right?
I know.
I just want to tell you.
I know.
Don't bite, David. Stop. Come on.
In the living room, David's chubby grandmother dances with blonde Rebecca. His burly grandfather dances with Patty. David, a drink in both hands, watches as his father, in white trousers, a sparkly white shirt, and billed hat, twirls the smiling Joanne. Breaking away from her husband, Joanne extends both arms towards David and opens them wide. Smiling, David extends his arms. David's father repeatedly thrusts his hips and flashes a wide grin. David raises his eyebrows. Outside, David sits and cuddles a retriever wearing a party hat.
Hey, this is Paul. I'm not here right now, so leave a message after the beep.
Standing, David holds a phone to his ear.
Hi, it's me. Just calling to say I landed, and which I guess I don't need to do that anyway. Yeah, mom's fine, or you know, fake fine. Just all doing New Year's stuff. Sort of feels like this little play that we're all putting on.
The man with fake teeth sneaks up behind David. Inside, Rebecca sits slouched in a leather chair. On the nearby sofa, Joanne sits with one arm around brown-haired Alex. Joanne rubs Alex's arm, and they exchange smiles. She kisses Alex's hair. In a hallway, David sits on the carpet. His father lumbers up the stairs.
Hey. You holding up?
Yeah.
David's father blinks and glances away.
You want company?
David shifts forward.
No, thank you.
And looks down.
Got any New Year's resolutions?
David's father moves closer. David looks up, then shakes his head.
I don't know. Dad.
I love you, bud.
He kisses the top of David's head and tousles his hair, then steps past.
Nine,
downstairs.
Eight.
guests
Seven,
wear the party glasses.
Six, five, four, three, two, one!
Upstairs, David turns toward the bathroom. White letters appear. January. Joanne, wearing a camisole and sweatpants, kneels over the toilet. Okay. She wipes her mouth with toilet paper. David, in a t-shirt and shorts, rises to his feet, then steps toward her.
Are you okay?
I'm sorry, I missed a little.
That's okay.
Yeah, I'm okay.
David pulls a plastic liner out of a wastebasket, carries it outdoors, then piles it atop an overflowing trash bin. Inside, daylight streams into his parents' bedroom, where Joanne lies. Across the hall is his room. David lies awake in bed. In a bathroom, he sits on a toilet with his pants down. In the upstairs hallway, he studies two framed photos perched on a cabinet. One is of his two smiling sisters. The other is of a younger David and an article. UCB's David Mulcahy sells pilot to Comedy Central, with a photo of David. He gazes down the hallway toward his parents' room. In his room, he sits in front of a laptop. On the screen, what is leiomyosarcoma? In the living room, David massages Joanne's back while she sits cross-legged on the rug.
So, how's Paul doing? This is a long time for you to be away from him.
He understands. He's fine.
Oh, good. Well, listen, I really want to pay for your rent for the next few months just so it's one less thing for you guys to worry about.
Dad's not going to like that.
Well, I don't care if he likes it.
Thank you.
Of course. Have you used that gym membership that he got you? Might be nice for you to have somewhere to go if you want to get out of the house.
I will, yeah.
Okay, good.
Work on my fitness.
Yeah. Can you see it?
Hmm?
Can you see it?
One shoulder bulges slightly.
No. Looks normal.
Oh, hooray.
In a car, David drives down a highway. In a grocery store, David stands in front of a cashier with graying hair. She scans a small box. David nods at her. With his eyes narrowed, he taps his credit card against the counter. She slowly scans a bag of chips. David leans forward and places both hands on the counter. The cashier waves another box in front of the scanner, then waves it past again. David turns away. Outside, he carries two full paper grocery sacks.
Hey, David?
A large man.
Okay?
Oh, hey.
Hey, thought that was you.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Just bagging.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's cool. It's good to see you.
I saw on Facebook you're a writer now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Me too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, novels and sci-fi fantasy shit.
Okay.
Yeah, it's fun.
Well, cool.
Yeah. What are you writing?
I was working on this pilot for TV for a year.
Okay.
But then it didn't get picked up, so.
The large man who wears a store apron stares open-mouthed.
Now I'm just writing for Saturday Night Live.
Oh, fuck, what? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Shit.
I should probably get going.
Yeah. I've been meaning to message you. I heard about your family situation.
Yeah.
How are your sisters doing?
I mean, everyone's sad, but, you know,
really? I didn't think Rebecca would care. And your little sister.
Wait, what are you talking about?
Yeah, Michelle Lima said that you came out and your family is like,
oh, yeah.
Kinda took it poorly or something like that.
Yeah. That was like 9 years ago or something. I mean, my dad still won't talk about it, but he's a fucking asshole.
Yeah. So. Boy, what were you talking about?
Oh.
David shrugs.
Now my mom has cancer.
The man stares open-mouthed.
But
you should rent her a DVD.
No, that's okay.
No, have you seen these things? They're like Netflix, but even better. They're awesome.
I have.
Come on. I got an employee discount. Man, it's not a big deal. I can get you a free rental.
You really don't have to do that. They're only a dollar.
Come on. Hey, please, let me get you something. Do you know if there's any non-new releases that she'd want to see?
In the living room.
Ooh. Okay, baby, watch your hair.
David's father holds the wastebasket.
Ooh, good girl. Get it out.
Just breathe, Mom.
There we go.
David places the grocery sacks on the kitchen counter, then sits on the sofa back.
Okay, Mom?
Joanne takes David's hand.
How's your day? Get any writing done?
A lot, actually.
Hey, you know that gym has boxing classes. I thought that might be fun.
Can someone please put Dono outside? I can't stand to see him licking his penis.
Dono, stop it.
Utility towers connected by power lines stand in a field, a shopping center. A row of houses under construction stands below a gray sky stippled with wispy white clouds. Nighttime.
David, hi, it's Gabe. I am in town. I want you to know that we are going to the gayest bar in Sacramento tonight. You, of course, have no choice. Please pick me up promptly. Thank you. Goodbye.
February. David parks a minivan in a driveway. A boy in a pink hoodie opens the door.
Oh, hey.
Hi, I'm looking for Gabe Stewart.
Oh, he's in the shower. Yeah. David, right?
Well, you're Justin?
The one and only. Except for Timberlake and Bieber, but whatever.
Oh, my. You were a baby like a second ago.
You can come in and wait in my room if you want. But just know that I know it needs a full redeck.
Okay.
Who am I kidding? This whole house needs a full redeck. Honestly.
Yeah, I don't judge it.
This is my bedroom.
Wow, this is really nice.
Do you like it?
I do.
So, for my birthday, I want to tear down this whole entire wall and put up solid Carrera. Do you know Carrera?
I think. Is she like a singer?
No, it's marble. It's so tasteful. I actually think you'll really like it. See this laptop case?
Uh-huh.
It's Carrera.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
It's fake, but it'll do. My tastes are a little bit outside my father's financial means, and I'm sensitive to that. You know, he works so hard. He's a single parent, so I try to cut corners where I can.
It's really nice of you.
I really like your shirt, by the way.
Oh. Plaid.
Well, thank you. I was actually very nervous about it since meeting you.
It's so cute. You're really cute.
David.
Gabe.
How are you?
I'm good. A very young boy just told me I look cute.
Yes, he did. I'm not surprised. Justin, we're gonna go. Be good.
Of course I'll be good. Please, please. It was so nice to meet you.
It was so nice to meet you.
Come on, hug me. Let's do this. Thank you.
Justin, I'm so sorry you can't come with us.
Oh, no, it's fine. I have work to do. Honestly, just please go off, have fun, do your thing.
We will. And Justin, please don't burn the house down with your candles while I'm gone.
Oh, my God. Gabe, please stop.
I'm sorry. I'm joking. He's furious because he ran out of candles this afternoon.
Outside.
Holy shit. Can't believe your dad has to raise that kid all by himself.
Okay, remember junior year how my mom got sick like 5 minutes after they adopted him?
They climb into the minivan.
Hey, wait, so where are we going? I didn't even know if Sacramento had gay bars.
Oh, you'll see. It's pure heaven.
In a club, on the wall is a painting of a cowboy with crotchless chest.
This is hands down the worst building I've ever been in.
Okay, you say that now, but if you meet your husband here, I'm gonna make the speech at your wedding.
The bartender delivers drinks.
Let me toast now to being back home.
To being in Sacramento.
Don't be rude, David. Okay, this is your home. This is your gorgeous, gorgeous home.
Okay, you can say that because you're here for the weekend. I've been here 2 months.
No, it's true. It's not fair. I don't have to deal with your fucking dad.
I mean, he's been good with my mom. We just don't talk about that.
That? So you mean how he cut you off and made you pay for school when you came out to him?
Yes.
That. Oh, right. How he's never seen Paul. How he's never met Paul. Once.
That.
Right.
Yes,
okay. What is this, 2008? Jesus, I feel like I'm in Brokeback Mountain. No.
A short Asian man stands near them.
Hi.
The man waved.
Hi. Do you teach, or...?
The man shrugs, then nods.
You don't know?
Okay. How are you and Paul? Is it weird now?
It was mutual.
Yeah.
So mutually weird.
Yeah.
I guess.
How long were y'all together? Like 4 years?
5.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
The man sneezes.
Hi.
Holding their drinks, David and Gabe dance.
You should do Grindr while you're here.
I would never do Grindr. Especially in Sacramento, that's disgusting.
What? You should try OkCupid. Come on. It's more gentle. It's like for small children.
No.
Why? What? No. What's wrong with OkCupid? I do it every time I'm home. I hooked up with that guy from Sheldon. He was a year younger than us, Nate Chapin.
Nate Chapin?
Mm-hmm.
How was that?
He had the grossest penis, but he lived next to Jack in the Box, so two birds, one dick.
Oh.
on a cell phone.
Oh, I'm gonna come so hard.
Yeah.
Oh. I'm gonna come all over the place.
My God!
That is definitely the guy from the burger place.
Yes, I told you.
How did you recognize him?
Because look at that dumbass tattoo on his arm. I mean, who else has that tattoo? No one has that tattoo.
Creation.
He's gonna do it. He's gonna do it.
Nothing will be spared.
He's close. He's close.
Oh my God.
He can!
Gabe and David embrace. They sit.
She didn't want to slowly lose her hair, so she shaved it last week, and we did this big haircutting ceremony, and she was really jokey and funny, and then when it was over, she started crying.
My mom did the same thing.
And chemo's not even working. It's like, now I'll have no mom, and basically no dad, and no boyfriend, and no job.
No, 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 David, you came here to be with her. Just focus on that. That's all, and let everything else fall into place, okay?
There's no one to fucking talk to here, except for you, and you're never here. So I just sit and I think about morbid shit. Like, where will I be when she dies?
How are your sisters?
Will it be summer or winter? Or like, will September 27th just always suck for the rest of my life? I don't know. It all just feels like something that happens to other people.
Yeah, well, no, you're other people to other people.
A man in a motorized wheelchair rolls past them. David buries his face in his hand. A stained glass window depicts Jesus nailed to the cross. March. Joanne, in a straight-haired dark wig, sings in the choir. The family are in the congregation. Joanne rolls her eyes toward the woman beside her. David and Rebecca share a smile. In a takeout line.
All right, we have two burgers, two fries, and two Cokes. It'll be about 5 minutes. We'll bring it right out to you.
David eyes the cashier's tattoo, creation.
Hi, what can I get you?
I like your tattoo.
Oh, that's like how we're all created, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. What can I get you?
Yeah, I'll just do 3 medium chocolate shakes, no whipped cream, please.
What size?
Medium.
And would you like whipped cream on that?
No, no whip.
And what flavor?
Chocolate.
Chocolate, great. 3 medium, no whipped chocolate shakes. What size?
David carries 3 shakes to his parents' table.
Okie doke. Still feel like Alex and Becky should be here if they want to.
No, I don't want them to hear this.
But they might want to.
No, I don't want them here. No.
David sits beside Joanne.
Okay. Obviously this is just precautionary. It's actually important that we all have one of these. Even you should have one. I can help you fill it out later if you want.
David nods. Joanne twirls her hair.
You look good. You enjoying the gym?
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, section 1, designation of agent. I've designated myself as agent. It just means that I would be making healthcare decisions if mom can't.
Meaning he can kill me?
Yeah, as soon as I get my info down here, I can kill her. And if it's okay with you, you are designated first alternate agent. It just means you're my second in command.
No, I don't want him in that position.
It's
absolutely
just,
not. No,
it's
no, no, no.
Precautionary.
No,
it's not going to happen.
Then put Nina down.
Mom, it's really fine.
It's not fine. You should not have to be in that position. No. The answer is no.
Okay. If you want Nina, we'll do Nina. Section 2-1, end of life decisions, donation of organs at death. You want to be an organ donor?
No, I don't want to be an... Who's going to want my organs? My organs have tumors all over them.
Your eyes. You could do your eyes. Pretty blue eyes.
He peers over his eyeglasses at Joanne.
I find my eyes.
David's gaze shifts to his father, who sits facing them.
Okay, I'll make sure that... Here's another... fun topic. cremation.
No, I'm not gonna. We talked about this.
We talked about it. I just wanna.
I'm not gonna be burned up, okay? I don't. How would you like it if somebody set you on fire? No, thank you.
Well, it's not like they light you. You know, I mean,
no,
you're,
I don't want to be lit on fire. I don't like that. I don't like camping, and I don't like fires, and I don't want to be personally lit on fire. No, I want to be frozen. Do they have that as an option? Frozen? Can I be frozen?
You want to be
Check
frozen?
Check the frozen option.
Frozen like a pea?
Yeah, exactly. Like a pea. I want to be frozen and then propped up on our couch in our living room, and I can watch you to make sure you don't cheat on me when I'm gone.
You're going to make sure
I think it's funny, but that's what I'm going to do.
But you won't have eyes because you donated your eyes.
That's too bad. No, I guess I'll be buried.
Okay, just hear me out on this.
He removes his glasses and rubs his right eye.
Burial, me, you know, it's...
What?
Think about it. I mean, a coffin, a plot. I mean, do we really want to do all that?
What?
I mean, that's what
Norman,
they did in...
No. I don't want to talk about this
olden
anymore.
Times.
I said, no, I don't care if it's olden. I like the olden times.
We could scatter your ashes someplace meaningful.
No.
I think it could
Why
be
Why are you trying to make
beautiful.
Me mad, Norman? I keep saying
I'm not.
No, and you're pushing me. Please stop. I told you, I don't want to be cremated, and I don't care if you think it's a dumb idea. I do not want to be cremated, okay? I don't like it. It makes me uncomfortable.
Okay.
I don't like it. I have a right to say that I don't fucking want to be
okay.
fucking cremated.
Okay, baby. Okay.
David turns toward his frowning mother.
And I hate this stupid wig. I look like a fucking dead person.
Joanne removes the wig, revealing her completely bald head. David looks away.
You don't have to be cremated.
Okay, good. I don't want to be cremated.
Joanne sips her shake.
We could do a green burial. It's this thing I saw on 6 Feet Under. It's like a burial, but there's no coffin or plot. It's totally natural. And they just put you in the earth and in like a pretty park or something.
Good, I want to do that. I want to do David's idea.
Okay, we'll do that.
Okay.
We'll go green.
Norman raises both eyebrows and smiles.
I'll figure that out.
He puts on his glasses.
I don't want to come to this stupid place anymore because that guy is literally doing that the whole time.
The cashier holds his cell phone up to his partially exposed chest.
Ridiculous. I hate this.
In an exam room, Norman is with Joanne. David and his sisters sit outside.
I hate it. I told her not to do the arm. I told her that there's no pain there. I told her to try the hem. She still did the arm. She kept poking me.
Baby, we do not. We do. Listen, we don't have to do this anymore.
No. I don't want them to see me quit.
We're going to take this one. Nobody's quitting. Listen to me. This is what we're going to do. We're going to do one more round, and we're going to see how you feel, okay? That's what we're going to do. Okay?
But why do they keep getting bigger? But why do they keep getting bigger?
I don't know.
On his phone, David searches, how long after no chemo do you die?
I think we need to think about the port.
No, I don't want to look like a robot.
You're not going to look like a robot, baby.
I don't want to look like a robot.
You're not going to be able to see it. The doctor said it would be totally covered by your shirt.
No.
Honey.
Rebecca rests one hand on Alex's leg.
I hate this.
David covers his face with his hands. May.
Yum, yum, and yum. So now we're going to take our chicken with the cheese literally coming out the sides. I know!
In an RV.
Note to self, don't put your kitchen towel too close to the stove.
David's grandfather turns off the TV.
You know, your mother was supposed to be born dead. So she's still very, very lucky.
Oh, Grandpa.
It's true. Ask her doctor. I mean, he's dead, but if he wasn't, you could. He hung himself. See, Grandma was already pregnant. And somehow she got pregnant again with your mother. And your mother absorbed the first child in the womb.
That's true.
The doctor thought your mother was either going to be born dead or with the other baby's hands coming out of her face.
Grandpa.
It's true, Ruthie. His God is my witness. But she didn't.
No, she didn't. Her face is fine. You've seen it.
Yes, I've seen it.
But she does got those big bunions. Those could be her sister.
Oh, God.
Ruthie serves two sandwiches.
Where are the girls?
I think Alex and her friends went to Rebecca's work to eat, and then they were going to a concert or something.
Well, why didn't you go with them?
I'm just feeling kind of out of it.
Well, you still should have gone.
I'm gonna use the bathroom.
Okay.
He's a nice boy.
He's a great boy. He looks good, too.
David rubs his face.
Oh, David, did you hear what happened to Mary Eisenpeter?
No, I'm in the bathroom.
Yeah, you know, her family lives in that red cabin down on 10 Mile. Well, she got her head torn off.
Oh, Grandpa, he's in the bathroom.
Well, it's true.
It is true. Got torn right off.
David bites his thumbnail.
Poor thing, and she had just gotten into Bemidji State. It's
crazy.
Yeah.
She was swimming, and a boat decapitated her. But she didn't die right away. She swam around for an hour.
Oh, maybe a minute or two.
No.
Yeah.
At least a half hour.
No.
The medic said she was trying to climb up onto Hoffman's dock without her head.
He's making this up.
No, it's true.
Okay, I think I'm gonna get going.
You're leaving?
Yeah.
Well, this is just so hard.
He removes his glasses.
She's your mom, but she's our little girl.
Oh, Ronnie.
Ruthie pats Ronnie's knees. David sits beside him.
You just never know what's going to happen in this life.
Ronnie pats David's thigh. In a park, David and Joanne stroll along a sidewalk, looping past a deserted playground. A few yards away, tall, leafy trees sway in a gentle breeze. Joanne pauses, then leans forward and vomits onto the grass. June, in a bedroom, shoes sit in a neat row under a wooden dresser. A pile of stuffed animals are in an upholstered chair. Pill bottles, a crumpled tissue, and a nearly empty glass clutter a table. In bed, David turns sideways to face a cork bulletin board with family photos. Alexandra's face with a graduation cap and gown, and Rebecca with a wedding dress. David's face is above a cityscape labeled NYC, Upright Citizens Brigade. Joanne wears a cap and lies facing away from David.
Are you mad I'm stopping?
The bulge in her shoulder is larger.
No. Nothing's shrinking them. I'd rather have a few good months or a year or 50 years.
David stares blankly, then blinks and swallows hard.
Are you scared?
I'm sorry for all the mean things I said when you came out.
It's okay.
Oh, I'm your mother. I want to ask your forgiveness for that whole time.
I forgive you.
And when you were little, I dropped you and you hit your head on the edge of a table. I think you're fine, but I'm really sorry that I did that.
David smiles.
It was very bad.
Joanne turns and smiles at David.
My wish for you is not to be so stressed. It's not worth it. You can be stressed, and still end up like this.
She stares at the ceiling. She glances at a photo of herself on the bulletin board.
That's a really good photo of me.
Yeah, it's pretty.
She sports shoulder-length brown hair.
Your mother was a model, David, just so you know.
Remaining perfectly still, they both gaze at the photo.
I wish we could just, like, go travel the whole world real quick. So you could just see everything.
I get to see my whole world at dinner tonight.
She turns to face him.
I ever wanted was to be a mother. That's all I ever wanted. And I got to do that 3 times. So whatever happens, happens.
I am coming to New York next month to see you perform.
David nods.
Mm-hmm. You can cross that one off the board.
Joanne turns onto her back and looks away.
I'll cross it out. But I don't know if I'll be here for their thing, so.
I think you will.
Joanne blinks and swallows hard.
Are you gonna have kids?
I want to.
She faces him.
I love Paul. He's such a nice guy.
Yeah.
You think you're gonna marry him?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, I think you will.
He blinks several times, then looks down before looking back at her.
I farted.
He smiles.
I'm so sorry. Disgusting.
Wow, it smells so bad. I'm kind of impressed.
I'm sorry. Your mother's disgusting.
No. Yes.
She flashes a wide smile. July, New York City at night.
All right, everyone. Are you ready? It's time for your next team. Put your hands together for Mrs. Roboto!
David and 6 other performers step onto the stage. David's family sit in the audience. A small theater is packed. David applauds and mouths, yes, as he spots the beaming Joanne.
Hi, guys. How y'all doing?
A dark-haired woman.
We are Mrs. Roboto, and we are about to do a fully improvised show for you. We just need a volunteer we can interview about their hometown. So can I have a volunteer? Yeah, yes, great, in the pink, perfect. Yeah.
Joanne approaches the stage.
Everybody clap. Yes, I can't do this. Okay, we actually know her. This is David's mom. I can't lie to you. Have a seat. So I just have some questions I'm going to ask you about where you're from. Why don't you answer that?
I am originally from Austin, Minnesota.
So what was it like growing up there? What was your family? What did you guys do?
Well, we lived above a restaurant called the Old Mill.
The Old Mill.
Because my father owned the restaurant.
Oh, okay. So did you, did you work there or eat there or what did you do?
Well, no matter what I was doing, whether it was day or night, my father would call me and make me come wash dishes.
What?
Yes.
Nah.
No matter what I was doing, whether I was doing homework or on a date.
That's awful, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And I had a grandmother named Vi.
Okay.
And this is a funny story. Christmas, God is my witness, all my brothers got boxes with all her dead husband's old belts as presents.
What?
Just all, like, all messed up in a bag.
Like a tangled up bag of belts?
Belts.
That is
from
a
her dead husband.
Truly horrible gift.
Yes.
Wow, Grandma.
And then that same year, she gave me old bed sheets that were ripped up into sections for me to use as pads.
What? That's an insane thing to do.
David chuckles.
That's a weird thing.
Okay.
You're lovely.
Thank you.
And I think we're good. Guys, please give it up for Joanne!
Joanne returns to her seat and kisses Norma. On stage, David and the dark-haired woman face each other.
You know I love you.
Yeah, I love you too.
And I just feel like it's time to take this.
Oh my God, I knew you were going to do this.
David drops to one knee.
Here you go.
He mimes a gift.
A lot of belts tangled up.
Yeah.
This is incredible. Oh my God, you really love me.
A large black-haired woman steps up.
Girl, did he give you belts?
Yes!
Oh, damn!
It's so big.
Oh my God, that means he fucking loves you!
I know!
Oh my God!
Don't untangle him!
A woman mimes giving birth.
That's great, the breathing and everything, but if you could try and do some dishes while
you're... Here, let's have the baby do some dishes, too.
You know,
Cut the cord!
Joanne's shoulders shake with laughter. She sits surrounded by the cast.
So, some of you might know I'm a second grade teacher. I don't know if David told you. So, we're on the floor doing show and tell like we do every show. And yes, you remember the days. And we get to my little student, Roberto, who David knows I talk about, this cute little boy all the time. He's just like about the cutest little boy in the world, a head full of silver teeth. So he says to me, Mrs. Mulcahy, my show and tell is still in my backpack. And I said, that's okay, honey, go get it out. He pulls out a fully dead chicken with the feathers still on it.
The dark-haired actress and a dark-haired man sit with David and Rebecca.
You guys, your mom is so pretty. Yeah. She's, like, gorgeous. Mm-hmm. You both have her eyes.
Yeah, she looks great. Is she still...
Yeah.
Yeah, she's still...
Okay, you know, I was, like, when I saw her, I was like, oh, I guess she's better. Yeah. And I was confused because I remember you said that,
Yeah, no, like, yeah. I mean... She's off chemo, so the chemo is what makes you sick. So she's
okay,
feeling better.
Well, but how long will she be off chemo?
She's not doing it anymore.
David cocks his head and offers a slight smile. His two friends stare. Rebecca looks away.
Well, can they try radiation or...
Yeah, I mean, we've already been through all that. And...
Rebecca wipes away a tear.
It's a weird form of cancer that doesn't really respond. No. It's basically just too far spread. It's okay.
A tear runs down the actress's cheek. A short woman with a long black ponytail runs up.
David Mulcahy!
Hi!
Oh my God, I saw you at the show! I was like, it's David. The other day, I was like, where's David been? You hate me, don't you?
Yeah, I've been hiding.
I knew it. You do. You hate
no,
me.
No, no.
He hates me. It's okay. I'm not really mad. I have been gone, too. So
okay,
my cousin had a wedding in Philly, so I was gone for that. But then I broke my ankle, and that was a whole thing. And then I had another wedding, and then I, like, just didn't really let my ankle heal properly.
On a sidewalk.
So now you know my crazy friends.
Yeah.
That was really fun.
I'm kind of tipsy. Is this it?
This is it.
I like the gray brick.
The neighborhood's actually really nice. If you just walk like 6 blocks that way, there's a good pizza place.
David unlocks a barred double door and opens it.
I apologize in advance for the 9,000 stairs you're about to climb. But,
Norman steps away. Joanne approaches him.
Really? Okay, come on, let's go. Should we go up? Let's go.
David stares at his father while the others head up the stairs.
Oh, I like the Band-Aid on the floor. Matches them up.
David follows them. With both hands in his pockets, Norman turns toward the street. Upstairs, a lanky man with black hair opens a door.
Hi!
Hey.
Hi! Oh, so nice to see
Me
you.
Me too.
Paul and Joanne hug.
Like the shirt.
Yes. Yeah.
Paul hugs Rebecca.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Paul hugs Alex and then David.
Thanks for doing this, of course.
So, here is our living room / family room / dining room / kitchen, and you've seen our gorgeous foyer.
We don't need anything more than this. We've got everything here.
Nice, sexy, shiny bedspread.
Oh, sexy, shiny. Thanks, Alex.
It's pretty sexy. Hey, I'm sorry that I wasn't at the show. This server, who's a liar, called in sick.
Oh, it's okay.
It was a great show.
Oh, it was so funny.
You gotta tell Paul the news.
What?
Yeah, I saw the artistic director after, and he mentioned this ABC show that's staffing, and he knows the showrunner, so I'm gonna... send them a spec.
That's great. You already have that one you can send.
I mean, it needs a lot of work, but...
Grinning, David nods.
Where's your dad?
Paul furrows his brow.
He's standing downstairs.
Joanne purses her lips, then looks up at Paul.
Do you have any wine?
Yeah. Yeah, we
Isn't
do.
He waiting?
He is waiting. Do you have any wine? Or something for a glass of wine?
In the bathroom. David showers.
Thanks for cleaning.
No problem. Your sisters are starting to look so much like your mom.
Really?
Yeah, like identical.
Paul flushes the toilet. Then turns and leans against the sink.
Our lease is up on the 30th.
He wears shorts and a t-shirt.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so I'm going to re-sign it, but you don't need to worry about it. You can leave your stuff here. And...
can we talk about that? Not now. Please.
Okay.
Paul saunters out of the bathroom. David peeks out from the shower curtain. In the bedroom, Paul lies on his back. David kneels over him.
Do you want me to?
No.
Paul wraps his right hand around the back of David's neck. Paul gazes up at him and smiles.
I finished like 3 days ago.
Shut up.
He places his other hand around David's neck.
Let's just start over.
Paul grasps David's arm as he rocks slowly forward and back.
David, you kind of...
Fuck, I know.
Okay. You're making a murder face.
David grimaces as he continues to thrust forward. David leans forward and touches his forehead to Paul's. Paul strokes David's hair. David's head falls to the pillow.
I'm sorry, that sucked.
They lie chest to chest.
I think that's the best we've ever had. It's kind of tantric.
Paul steps into the bathroom. David, his face and chest glistening with sweat, lies face up on the bed.
Did you wax your butthole?
What?
You did. Who are you?
David wears a pair of dark shorts.
Oh, well, I was just trying it. You know, I hate hair.
So are you, like, having sex, then?
Well, why can't I just wax it for me?
Well, you can, but that seems like a stupid thing to do. It's fine if you've had sex. That's fine.
I know it's fine.
So you have?
No.
You paused. So you have.
You're creating one of your fights.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
Also, having sex with other people would be healthy. You should try it, or at least, you know, date, flirt, whatever.
Yeah. Right, that's me. Okay, fine. You just... sit inside your head all day.
Paul, wearing a t-shirt and shorts, sits on the other side of the bed. He leans against the headboard.
Okay.
David sits up and also leans against the headboard.
So I haven't had sex, but I did masturbate like 9 times in 1 day last week.
Wow. 9?
Yeah. 10 years later, back on the same twin bed, just... going at it like old times.
You sound wistful.
It was kind of nice, yeah. Mm. I got this huge mahogany desk when I was little. It's still in there. And I remember asking specifically for it for my 8th birthday.
And of course you asked for a mahogany desk for your 8th birthday.
And one of the drawers has a lock and key, so... it made sense for me to keep all of my porn in there. But it wasn't porn. It was like the ads from the Sunday paper. So there would be like this guy standing there in a JCPenney swimsuit from the late 90s, just working it. And
working it?
And I would steal it and masturbate to the same JCPenney man for like months. Can you imagine masturbating to something like that now?
No. I need like... full fucking and novelty.
Right. The worst part?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Is that when I went to college, I was so worried that my parents would find these photos that instead of just throwing them away like a normal person, I would cut each of the photos into tiny little strips, and then I would soak them in water.
What?
And then I divvied the soggy bits up into different trash bags, and then threw them away into different garbage cans. Wait, in case... My neighbors just on the street.
Like you were worried someone was going to piece them back together. Do you think like Sherlock Holmes was trying to out you?
I don't know.
Going through the trash?
I don't know. I was an insane person.
Oh, poor tiny terrified little David.
Grinning, David shakes his head.
That was truly
horrible. I'm sorry I was an asshole about your butthole.
It's okay. I got it done at this place called Wax Poetic.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did. But the guy who did it didn't say a single word. He just, like, physically grunted.
Did it hurt?
Yeah. It hurt. So bad.
They nestle under the covers. Paul rubs David's arm.
You want me to spoon you?
You don't have to.
I know you don't want to.
They turn on their sides, and Paul snuggles up to David's back.
Just pretend I'm the guy from the JCPenney ad.
Oh, in your dreams.
I got sand on my feet and a moderately priced, modest swim trunk.
Still grinning, David buries his face in his pillow. Daytime, David and Joanne walk past the playground. August.
Such a beautiful day. Mm-hmm. I might run a little bit.
Okay.
You want to run with me? I'm just going to...
Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to get my heart rate.
Okay.
They run. In his bedroom, David sits at his desk typing on his laptop. On the screen is a script. Alex appears in the doorway.
Hey, Becca's at work. I was going to go for a walk. Would you want to come?
Oh, I'm okay. Thanks, though. I got to finish this.
Okay.
Alex leaves. David sweeps his bangs off his forehead, then gazes upward and cocks his head. He looks back at the screen and clicks on an icon, a website. OkCupid, join the best free dating site on Earth.
Fuck it.
From a drop-down menu, he chooses, I am a gay man, and then clicks Next, which appears in a box below his Gmail address. More text appears. Ah, the last step, don't stop now. In the username box, he types, here we go, I guess. Then quickly deletes it. He stares at the screen. He types, oh great, it's David, in uppercase letters, all one word. He types in a password, then clicks done. More text. Welcome, oh great, it's David. David's profile notes his age as 28. A message pops up. Citizen Babe Ruth sent you a message. David Mulcahy is on OkCupid? A photo of Gabe, shirtless and wearing dark sunglasses. David, what? How was this so quick? Gabe, I'm in SAC. I just sit on OkCupid all day. Come over tomorrow. It's my dad's 60th. Justin putting on a show for him. It's going to be insane. Nighttime at Gabe's house.
Do you have any idea what we're about to witness?
I don't know per se, but what I do know is that it is called an evening of movement and dance.
Yes.
For my father, Rod Stewart, on his 60th birthday.
Program.
And you'll notice right when you open it up, there is a rose petal, which is V-tasteful. I'm very proud.
I never realized your dad's name is actually Rod Stewart.
Yeah, it's been very hard for him.
Oh, hi, everybody. Hey, hello, hello.
Bespectacled Rod faces a small crowd.
Well, first of all, thank you for coming to my birthday. And I just got the word from Justin that he's ready to come down, so...
Justin, atop the stairs.
All right, ignore that. We don't know where he's going to come from. Okay.
A note.
And he wanted me to say, please make sure all your phones are completely on and that the flash is also on. All right, I'm supposed to hit play. Hold on.
Rod turns on a boombox. Gabe exhales.
Ladies and gentlemen, a quick note before the show. I, Justin, could not be with you tonight. So instead, sit back, relax, and enjoy dancing from my best friend, Justina Carrera.
Justin glides down the stairs. He wears a shoulder-length black wig, a sequined headband sporting tall feathers, a white caftan robe with wide red stripes, and long black gloves. Justin, with dark eye makeup and red lipstick, flourishes his arms overhead. A young girl holds the robe's hem as he walks. Justin steps into the living room and tugs the robe away, then turns his back to the crowd. He clasps his hands over his head. He swings his butt from side to side, then turns. His body undulates. He drops to the floor, then replaces the black wig with a long white wig. He removes his robe to reveal a red midriff top and skin-tight silver sequin shorts. The adults smile. The girl shines a flashlight on him. He grinds his pelvis, then kneels on a coffee table and paws it. He flips onto his back, lifts his legs, and opens them wide. He wears short black boots. Gabe chuckles. David smirks. Justin slides off the table and mimics firing a gun, then runs in place. He lies face up on the floor. Eyeing David, he repeatedly thrusts his pelvis. Several people record him with their phones. David hides a grin behind his hand. Justin stands, steps forward, and gyrates his crotch a few inches from David's face. David turns to Rod.
Can we be arrested for this? I feel like we all can and should go to jail.
Okay, you're just jealous because this gets 1,000 times more confident than you'll ever be.
David grins and gazes toward Justin, who ends his routine by posing on his side atop the coffee table. The girl pours bottled water on him.
Oh my God!
David shakes his head.
Stunning.
At the playground.
That was so stressful.
I mean, that was the best thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
David and Gabe stand on a short plank bridge suspended above the sand.
Did I tell you that me and my family went to New York last month?
No.
And I took them by to see me in Paul's apartment, and my dad wouldn't come up.
No.
Yes. We were having such a nice time before that.
Do they know? Have you told them that you're not together anymore?
No, I haven't told them.
Oh, David.
It's just...
David rubs his face.
I just want my mom to die thinking I'm doing okay. That's all.
David sits cross-legged on the bridge. Gabe sits on one of the railings and pulls out his phone.
Do you ever cry about your mom? Now?
Mm-hmm.
No. I get sad. And, you know, it comes in waves. But I haven't, like, cried in, like, a while.
David scratches the top of his head.
We haven't been to church in, like, 3 months.
Your family?
Mm-hmm.
That's huge.
I thought this was the time where I'm supposed to get all religious-y. And I keep waiting for that beautiful moment of revelation about life. I mean, I thought when your mom dies, you get, like, a moment where you're both, like, sitting on a park bench mm-hmm. on a beautiful day. Mm. And then, all of a sudden, you hear the voice of God, and just everything becomes clear. I want that. I want that moment.
Gabe shakes his head. Then sits facing David.
I weirdly had, like, that moment, sort of.
Yeah?
Yeah. I remember when my mom died, everyone at church was like, you know, oh, you know, at least she'll be looking down on you, you know, from heaven. Which is, I mean, is the worst thing that you can hear. But the one meaningful thing anyone said to me in that entire time was from my mom. We were outside.
Good start.
Yeah. Just a warning. This is going to get very gay.
Okay.
We were in our backyard, and I remember her saying something about how much she loved birch trees, you know, which I already knew. But then she said, when I die, I'm going to be a birch tree. So when you see one, that's me. And, you know, I fully should have forgotten it because it's such a small, random thing. And, you know, people say bullshit like that all the time. But it has always stuck with me because, you know, now I literally always think of her when I see a birch tree. And it is so nice.
Yeah.
You know, and I do not believe in the she's looking down on you thing at all. But, you know, she said she was a birch tree, you know? And I know she's not really one, but I don't know. She sort of is. Because now every time I see one, I'm like...
He points.
There's Mom.
David nods.
So I didn't learn some huge lesson, but that was my Jesus-y moment, you know, sans Christ. And I will always have it.
That's really nice.
At the Mulcahy's, David steps inside. With short, cropped hair, Joanne lies sprawled on the sofa. Norman reclines in a chair.
Don't look at us. We're drug addicts.
Hello.
David, don't.
What's going on?
We're drug addicts, David. It's time that you knew.
Okay.
Norman stares at the ceiling.
Is that okay?
Dad has to give his report on the school tomorrow. He has to go into the district.
From a bowl between his thighs, Norman puts a chip in his mouth.
He has to go to the district office and give the school report. You know what your speech should be, Norman? You should go in.
Joanne pounds her fist on the coffee table.
Attention, here's my progress report. My wife is dying. We smoked too much pot, and they had to take us to the emergency room because my wife ate too many potato chips.
Wait, you went to the emergency room?
Joanne nods. Mm-hmm.
What did they say?
They said you took too much pot and you gotta go home. They said you took too much pot. Get your ass out of here. They said, get your...
Joanne slaps her butt, then thrusts her thumb over her shoulder.
That's what they said.
They said, hey.
I thought you didn't want to try medical marijuana.
Well, I tried it.
Brownies in a pan.
I see that. But why are you so stoned? How much butter did you use?
Just one stick.
You used a whole stick?
Mm-hmm. But how do you know how much goes in there?
Because I smoke pot. I'm stoned right now.
He fills a glass.
Drink some water.
Then hands it to Joanne.
Good for you, David. Live your life.
I will.
Live your life. You too, Norman. When I die, you gotta live your life. Except you can't date anyone for a year. And you can't date that slut who came to the door today.
As in Lisa, the one that brought you a pie?
Only a slut would come to the door with dessert. You're supposed to bring a lasagna or something like that.
I didn't know that. Well, I'm gonna go find Alex and Beck. Have fun.
Upstairs.
Come in.
David opens a bedroom door.
Hi.
Did I see Mom?
Yes, what happened?
I came home from work and they were like, that's your fault.
I didn't want to tell them they were putting too much butter because then they were going to ask how I know.
Ask how you know, Alex. Look at your shirt. They know you do drugs.
Look at your shirt. They didn't know you were gay.
This is just blue.
It was like my favorite night with them, like, ever.
That's nice.
You should have been there.
They're like pot Jolly Ranchers if you want to do them sometime.
Yeah, maybe.
Does that mean no?
No, it means maybe.
Well, I'm going to put Mom to bed now, and then maybe do you want to hang out?
Oh, that's okay. Thanks, but I'm going to try and do some writing while she's asleep.
Always writing.
David gazes at his sisters, raises both eyebrows, and leaves. The sisters exchange a glance. September. Under a sunny sky. At an elementary school, the minivan parks. David and Joanne stroll and hold hands.
Glad we're doing this.
Yeah. School looks pretty.
I like the birch trees. You like birch trees, right?
Joanne nods. In a classroom, David, Joanne, and several women sit around a long table.
Ladies, and gentlemen.
Thank you.
To the start of another good year, and for having Joanne with us today.
They hold up their drinks.
Joanne, do not judge my room. I know that it is a disaster zone. Your mother always had her room set up weeks before the school year started. We hated her.
Yeah. I guess I have a tough act to follow then.
Well, if you teach with us, all that matters is, do you like wine?
Exactly. Oh my God. Yes.
Joanne, she's gonna take over for you just fine.
That'd be great.
I really like this top.
Target.
Where?
Target.
Target.
You always have the cutest stuff.
You really do.
And Target has really good stuff.
They really do. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, you're getting Roberto's little brother this year.
Good luck. I'm sorry, who am I getting?
Roberto's little brother this year.
Roberto's brother. Don't want the silver teeth.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Mm.
Blonde Vicky's eyes widen.
Roberto. His little brother is in our class, your class this year.
Yeah. See, that's why Joanna's retiring.
I've heard that little brother is a terror.
Okay.
Joanne nods.
And now, what was the chicken story, though? I missed that.
Oh, yeah, Joanne. You got to tell her.
Yeah, tell her.
Frowning, Joanne leans forward.
His what?
His backpack.
His backpack. Uh-huh. Oh. Mm-hmm. He says, Mrs. Mulcahy, I brought this chicken.
Oh. Okay, I'm sorry. Where what was going on?
It was show and tell.
Oh, I missed that part. Go on.
Joanne gestures to the woman seated beside her.
Go on, please, go on.
Okay, so, I mean, Joanne tells it better, but... So he pulls out this backpack, and inside is a, like, legit full-on dead chicken.
Yeah.
Not from a store, with feathers on it, newly dead.
Oh, no!
Yeah. Yes, you laughed so hard, I thought I was going to pee my pants.
No.
Joanne did.
Oh, man. We didn't know that. Joanne sits in the van. David hands Vicky a large cardboard box.
My mom wanted me to give you these. They're little boxes that she made for the kids with their names on them and all their pencils and little candies and stuff.
Joanne!
Vicky walks to the window.
This is too much. You did not have to do this.
One last thing for you to have to do. And I put a candy in each one, but you can take it out if you want to.
Thank you so much. Your mother is the best. She's just the best.
They all smile.
All right. Okay. Well, come visit, you know? Stop by anytime. It's your classroom. I'm just babysitting, so... Okay.
Joanne watches Vicky walk off.
Okay.
Joanne nods, then fastens her seatbelt. David fastens his.
Okay.
Lips pressed together, Joanne waves. October, nighttime, at Applebee's. Norman, Alex, and Rebecca sit in a booth. David returns to his seat beside Rebecca.
You're lucky. I'm just going to finish off your fries. Bet you can't get fries that good in any fancy New York diner.
Nope.
So, Alex, have you decided what you want to do for your birthday?
It's October.
Yeah, but December 1st is going to be here before you know it.
Alex looks away. Rebecca gazes down.
Does anybody have any questions about what's going on with Mom? This is her body is shutting down. That's what you're noticing.
Alex stares at Norman, who taps his fingers on the table. He raises his eyebrows.
How's Daniel?
He's good.
Good.
Yeah, working a lot.
Yeah, I'm so grateful that you've had him through this.
Yeah.
How about you? You dating anybody?
When would I do that?
Well, what about, what's his name? Pete from The Homecoming Guy.
Ew, his little baby corn teeth.
I loved his teeth.
Norman continues to eat David's fries.
How about you, David?
Yes.
How's the writing going?
It's great.
Yeah, did you turn in the ABC script?
Yep.
That's good.
And how's Paul?
He's good. Yeah, thanks for asking.
Norman pulls out his phone.
Ooh, it's Grandma. I'll be right back.
What the fuck? He still can't ask about Paul?
You've never asked about me or Rebecca.
What, Alex? Yes, I have.
Other people are sad, too.
I know that.
Whatever.
In the car, Norman sings and drives. Now that she's back in the atmosphere. In the back seat, Alex and Rebecca also sing. Plain old Jane told a story about a man who was too afraid to fly, so he never lived there. But tell me, did the wheels sweep you off your feet? Did you finally get a chance to dance along a light of day? Head back to the Milky Way. In the furthest rear seat, David grits his teeth and leans his head back. Daytime, in the living room, David holds Joanne's feet as she executes slow sit-ups. Her fingernails are painted with red polish. Nighttime. In a bar, David and a slender, black-haired man sit at a small, round table. David drinks white wine. The other man drinks red wine.
So on a scale of one to, like, a fucking million, how terrible is everyone on OkCupid?
What?
Like, a fucking trillion, right?
Well, I mean, they're not that bad. We're on it.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're great. We're fantastic people. But, like, everyone else, fucking lunatics, right? I mean, it might just be because it's Sacramento.
I kind of like Sacramento.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm like kind of drunk,
really?
I think.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm
feeling good.
I'm not.
I mean, I guess I just thought that we were, like, eating.
When I said nine, I just thought it was implied it was just drinks only.
You are just trying to make me black out.
What?
Aren't you?
No, I'm not.
I'm kidding.
Right.
David takes a big gulp, sets his glass down, then picks up the glass again and downs the rest of it.
So, where are we going? Next.
We could go watch a movie at my place. I got Mirror Mirror at the grocery store.
Oh, fucking God.
That's just all they had.
That's all they had?
The black-haired man's smile fades.
I'm gonna get a pen.
Okay.
He steps up to the bar. David pushes back his bangs, then places one hand to his mouth and belches. David winces. The black-haired man returns.
I really would love to watch a movie with you. It's just, I have to be up at, like, 6 to help my mom. That's not a line.
Your mom?
Yeah, she's sick.
Oh.
No, it's fine. We don't have to talk about that. It's not fine. She just started hospice, so now is when it's definitely not fine. But it's fine.
David looks down, then winces again.
Okay, I think I need to go to the bathroom.
Okay.
I'm really sorry. I feel like I'm being the weird one on this date, which I'm normally the normal one on dates. But I'll just be right back.
David rushes off and vomits against the wall just outside the restroom. He pushes open the door and stumbles into a stall. He sits back against the wall, then stands. He pulls a ribbon of paper towels out of a wall dispenser, then kneels by the restroom door. He opens the door a crack, then reaches one arm outside and mops up the wall and floor. The black-haired man sits with his back to David. Returning into the restroom, David stands in front of the mirror and sticks out his tongue. He holds up one hand to his mouth and breathes into his cupped palm. He positions his mouth under a wall soap dispenser and pushes the lever. Soap drips out. He spits into the sink, then wipes his mouth with a paper towel. He flings the towel into the trash, stares at himself in the mirror, then hurries back to his table.
I'm back.
Hey, are you okay?
Yeah. No, I just, I was just... I threw up on my face.
Alone, David walks to the minivan.
Hey, it's Dad. You must be gym, maybe boxing or something. Anyway, would you mind picking up some toilet paper and some laxatives? Just make sure to get the suppository kind. Okay, thank you.
In the driver's seat, David drops his head, then places his phone on the seat beside him.
You're listening to The Lilac, urging you to love somebody tonight. This next song is going out to Alan in Iraq. Your fiancé, Trish, loves you very much and thanks you for all that you do for your country. Alan, here's Drops of Jupiter.
David punches the radio button.
Oh, my fucking fuck!
In a grocery store. He picks up two large packages of toilet paper, cradling one in each arm.
Toothpaste. Medicine.
He studies shelves filled with boxes of sleep aids and decongestants.
Okay. Where are the fucking laxatives? What the fuck? Aisle 5, medicine, health, wellness. I literally need something that is all of these things. Where the fuck is it? Oh my God. Oh my God. Bunch of fucking bouncy balls in the medicine aisle, but there's no fucking medicine.
He storms off.
Hello? Anyone? Am I in a ghost store?
He approaches a young man holding a price gun.
Hi. I was just looking for your laxatives. Not for me.
Yeah, that'll be aisle 5.
The man points.
Okay. Okay. Go back to aisle 5 with the fucking medicine and no laxatives. That's what I'll do. I'll look at all the same shit I already looked at.
He drops the toilet paper.
I fucking hate this place. I fucking hate this aspirin. I fucking hate this fucking Robitussin. Fucking Q-tips. What the fuck, this fucking lady?
Another customer.
Fucking, oh my God.
David covers his face with both his hands, then paces.
What the fuck? Where the fuck is it? I'm a fucking good person. I'm a fucking good person. Where are the laxatives? I just fucking want to find the laxatives. Where the fuck are the laxatives?
Tears well up in his eyes. He plops to the floor and sits facing the shelves. A woman wearing a store apron approaches.
Are you okay?
David looks up at her, then at the shelves.
I was just looking for laxatives.
They're right here. In front of you.
She holds out a small box. He takes it and smiles.
Thank you.
Hope you feel better.
Limping, the woman walks off. David raises both hands, then drops them on the toilet paper. In church. Lit votive candles fill a series of shallow stepped shelves. November. David and his family sit in a pew in the back. Two women sit separately on the other side of the aisle. The female choir members gather at the front of the altar. Joanne sits with her head resting on Rebecca's shoulder. A woman waves. Rebecca and Joanne smile. David picks up his phone from the end of the pew. 8:50, Saturday, November 14th. Paul, 10 seconds ago. Sorry about the ABC show. That sucks. You deserved that. Hope you're okay. David taps the screen. Twitter messages. Congrats at Mike Madrigan. Funniest guy I know. Well deserved. And at Mike Madrigan, hired on ABC pilot. Holy shit. David sits up straight. He gazes at his family, then strides to the back of the church. Outside, on a picnic bench, David holds his phone in his lap. Norman, with his hands in his pockets, walks down nearby steps.
Hey, you okay?
I didn't get the show, so...
Shoot, I'm sorry.
Yeah, this other guy got it. I found out on Twitter.
Ugh, that's frustrating.
Norman sits on the picnic table.
Mike Madrigan, he's like 11. 11-year-old.
Maybe you weren't supposed to get this job so that you could be here. Everything happens for a reason.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
David bows his head and covers his mouth with one hand. Norman taps David's shoulder.
Listen,
Norman stands.
If you want to invite him to dinner sometime...
David looks up.
Him who?
That'd be...
Paul,
yeah.
We broke up. So you're too late.
I didn't know you broke up. I just wanted to...
Oh, my God!
David moves away.
We were together 5 years, and he can come to dinner now?
David, I just wanted
What is this? What... You and I bought fucking diapers together for her today. We sat with the hospice and picked up medicine together. I've been fucking living with you in your house for 10 months, and it's been good because I keep thinking, I like the way he's helping Mom, or maybe he's getting more accepting, but then it's like you won't even come up to my apartment whenever we're in New York. It's like this one little thing, and you won't do it. You won't. I'm gonna be fucking 30 years old, and Mom's gonna be dead, and then what? Are we gonna be closer then?
Norman furrows his brow.
Like, do I still come home or what? Because I want to.
Home.
I want to, but it's just, it's been 10 years. It's been 10 years, and I will not be nervous saying he or boyfriend around you anymore because it fucking sucks. It fucking sucks. And I've had such a shitty, lonely year. And I can't bother Mom with any of this, and I can't talk to you about any of this. So what am I supposed to do? I can't even talk to you about the fact that I'm gay.
Of course you can talk to
me.
No,
I can't.
About that, David, I've always said I am available anytime you want to debate that.
It's not a fucking debate!
David stares open-mouthed at his father.
It's not a fucking debate.
David turns and shifts his weight side to side.
I'm sorry I keep cursing at church, but I feel a lot better.
I don't give a shit.
David meets Norman's gaze.
And I haven't been working out. I went to the gym once, and I just sat in my car and read Us Weekly.
David shrugs. Norman blinks. They stand 4 feet apart.
Anything else you want to talk about?
When Mom dies, Paul's coming. I want him here, so Paul's coming.
David snatches his phone off the bench and walks off. Norman follows him up the steps. At the house, Patty's face fills a laptop screen. Joanne wears her 70s party dress.
Hi, Joanne.
Hey.
Can you see me?
We can see you. Hi.
Can you see me, guys?
Yes.
We can see you, Patty. Just talk.
Can you see me?
Yes.
Just say talk. Anything other than can you see me?
Can you see me, all of you?
Mm-hmm. We can hear.
Oh, Joanne, look at you. Look beautiful.
Joanne,
there's Steve.
Fletcher's here.
Steve's fake teeth.
Love those.
Joanne, I forgot to tell you, I'm glad that I didn't heal you with that wand. That pastor's in prison now. Computer scam or something. I don't want to hog this because everyone's in wanting to say hi to you.
Hi, Joanne.
Hi.
Hey.
The blushing
hey.
A woman in a white dress.
Wait, what was that?
Joanne,
you look so pretty.
Joanne wants you to know how gorgeous you look.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. So do you.
I dressed up for your wedding.
She's all dressed up. She's got her party dress on.
She's wearing that 70s dress from New Year's.
With the boots. Remember the white boots? She wanted to get dressed up.
Hi, it's Lynn. Is that you? It is you.
Hi.
Hi. It's Lynn. What?
Joanne.
She likes your hair.
She likes your hair.
Your hair. Yes, it's short.
Your hair.
Your hair.
What?
Is this a movie? What are we looking at?
Hi, Grandma and Grandpa.
It's Grandma and Grandpa.
Joanne turns to Alex.
She says you look so beautiful.
Rebecca.
Thank you, Mom. You do too.
I wore my New Year's dress.
Okay, Joanne, we gotta get seated.
I love you, Mom. I'll see you tomorrow.
I love you the whole world, Rebecca.
Say bye.
Bye.
Say bye, everybody. Say goodbye.
Joanne frowns. Her eyes are rimmed with dark circles.
They're all sending kisses.
I'd like to have and to hold from this day forward, in sickness and in health, so long as you both shall live.
I do.
Then with the power vested in me by the Lutheran Church and the state of Minnesota, I pronounce you husband and wife. You may kiss the bride.
As David looks on, Norman kisses the top of Joanne's head. She sits nestled against him. In the playground, David and Joanne take small, slow steps on the path.
It's really nice out.
I might just sit down just for like a minute.
David holds Joanne's arm as she eases onto a metal bench. He sits beside her. She leans back with her eyes closed. He adjusts his unzipped sweatshirt, then gazes toward a woman and a young boy who romp together in the nearby grass. He glances at Joanne, who still has her eyes closed. In his room, David lies on his bed, head propped up against a pillow and laptop open. He races to his parents' bathroom. Naked, Joanne lies twisted on the tile floor.
Okay.
David places a robe over her.
It's okay. You're okay.
He helps her to the bed and sits beside her.
You're okay. I feel so embarrassed.
He wraps one arm around her.
It happens. I'm embarrassed. Don't be.
David. The wedding, they saw me. They saw me. They felt bad for me. I got so confused. This is happening to you. I'm tired. I don't want you to think I'm giving up.
No, if it's time for you to rest, we want you to rest.
I tried so hard.
I know you did.
She nods, then slowly closes her eyes. Tears roll down David's cheeks.
Mom, I broke up.
I know.
Joanne opens her eyes and gazes at David for a few moments before closing them again.
I didn't get that show. But I promise I'm gonna be okay. You don't have to worry about me.
Don't worry.
There's something else that I'm working on. And I know my apartment's small, but I'll be okay.
Yeah. Just see your sisters.
What?
I used to be so scared you'd all forget about me. But I walk by the pictures of the three of you and I see me in each of you. So I know that you won't forget about me because I'm right there.
Can never forget about you.
That's nice. When you miss me and you want to see me, just come home and see your sisters. You gotta be good to them, David. Take care of them. Be a good big brother, okay?
He buries his face in his hands.
Your sisters. No.
I promise. Well, I'm sorry.
Nothing else matters.
I will. I promise.
December.
Oh.
David lies at the foot of his parents' bed.
Oh, she's gone. She's gone. We love you. We love you so much.
David extends his arms to join hands with Norman, Alex, and Rebecca. Norman rests his face on Joanne's limp right arm. An aerial view of Sacramento at night, with countless houses in tight rows alongside short roads ending in cul-de-sacs. A single vehicle travels along a road in the development. The vehicle pulls into the Mulcahy's driveway. Inside, Rebecca sits slumped on the dining table, with her husband at her side. Alex is curled up on the sofa, flanked by her grandparents. Her head is nestled against Ronnie, who strokes her long hair. A single table lamp illuminates the room. David sits cross-legged on his bed. He spots a check with a blue sticky note lying on his desk. He picks it up. The check, dated December 1st, 2015, is written out to Paul Cook, with the amount left empty. On the sticky note, "This is for however much Paul's plane ticket is. Dad." David turns toward the hallway. Downstairs, Norman stands near the open front door as two men wheel out a gurney covered with a dark sheet. Upstairs, David creeps toward his parents' bed. Its sheets are pulled back. Standing with his arms folded across his chest, he fixes his gaze on his mother's pillow.
Now that she's back in the atmosphere with drops of Jupiter in her head.
David stares solemn-faced toward the smiling photo of Joanne tacked on the bulletin board.
She acts like summer and walks like rain, reminds me that there's a time to change.
He glances into Alex's bedroom. Alex and Rebecca sleep together in a twin bed. A happy birthday balloon hovers beside them.
She listens like spring and she talks like June.
David returns with a pillow and places it on the floor beside Norman, who lies sleeping under a blanket.
Tell me, did you sail across the sun? Did you make it to the Milky Way to see the lights all faded and that heaven is overrated?
He lies on the floor facing his father, then looks toward Alex, who opens her eyes. They exchange smiles. Cut to black. Credits appear. Written and directed by Chris Kelly. Produced by Adam Scott, Naomi Scott, Sam Bisbee. Executive producers: Lance Accord, Jackie Kelman Bisbee, Franklin Carson, Kathleen Ehas, Nicole Ehas, David Ryan, Hunter Ryan, Richard J. Bosner, Stephanie Apt. Co-producers: Claire Beicher, Theodora Dunlap, Cody Ryder. Director of Photography: Brian Burgoyne. Edited by Patrick Coleman. Production designer: Tracy Dishman. Costume designer: Carrie Hennessy. Music by Julian Wass. Music supervision: Chris Swanson. Casting by Allison Jones. Jesse Plemons. Molly Shannon. Bradley Whitford. Maud Apatow. Madison Beatty. John Early. Zach Woods. With Paul Dooley. And June Squibb. A Park Pictures production. A Gettin' Rad production. Other people. Credits scroll. Cast in order of appearance: David, Jesse Plemons. Joanne, Molly Shannon. Norman, Bradley Whitford. Alexandra, Maud Apatow. Rebecca, Madison Beatty. Kathy Colombo, Deb Height.
Del Taco employee, Eli Vargas.
Ruth Ann, June Squibb, Ronnie, Paul Dooley, Daniel, Kyle Lane, Steve, Matt Walsh, Aunt Lynn, Carrie Kenny, Aunt Patty, Paula Pell, Dennis, Kevin Dorf, Caroline, Sophie Barely, Dono, Bella, Paul, Zach Woods, Cashier, Karen Yum, Donnie, Mike Mitchell, Gabe, John Early, Justin, J.J. Tota, Barfly, Wayman Lee, Horn Employee, Luke Shaw, Livia, Lynn Marie Stewart, Carla, Hillary Ward, UCB Announcer, Edgar Blackman, Jessica, Darcy Carden, Dan, Colton Dunn, Morgan, Fran Gillespie, Craig, Drew Tarver, Andrew, Brandon Scott Jones, Charlie, Nicole Beyer, Melanie, Allison Rich, Rod, John Hartman, Nina, Retta, Sherlyn Isham, Sandy, Latifa Holder, Vicky, Lennon Parham, Anita, Marla Garland, Anne, Rose Abdu, Dave, Kanoa Gu, Delilah, herself, male grocery store employee, Jorge Diaz, female grocery store employee, Carolyn Wilson, Josh, Richard Jin Nam Kung, pastor, Barry Wiggins, child, Griffin Chang, mother, Yumi Iwama, technician number one, Greg Durellian, technician number two, Devon Libron,